I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Gene Phelps.
I'm Blake Morgan, and this is Prep Rally,
a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com, coming to you every Wednesday talking about high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. I'm your host, Brad Locke, joined, as always, by Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan. Fellas, how we doing?
Doing well.
There you go. I'm doing well myself.
You're now almost 2 weeks back from Jackson, and now you're settling into baseball. And softball. And softball. Well, trying to.
And a little track and field.
Track and field. We got a little everything on the show today. We got baseball and softball. We got a little bit of track, got a little bit of hoops, even a little bit of football. Some football news recruiting news that Gene has. So we got a packed podcast, so we might as well get into it. But first, let's remind y'all how to find us. Perhaps you're listening at prepperally.djournal.com. Also, you can listen to us on the go on your iPhone or your Android device or in iTunes, any of your podcast apps there. So just click the subscribe button after you find Prep Rally, and you'll get notified when new episodes drop every week. And also be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Let's start with baseball, guys. We've got a lot of really good teams in the area, evidenced by the fact that last year five of the six state champions came from Northeast Mississippi. And I just kind of want to play off of the stories that David Wheeler has been writing. He wrote kind of season previews over the past week and a half on these teams that won it all last year. TCPS in 1A, East Union in 2A, Kossuth in 3A, Houston in 4A, and Oxford in 5A. And, you know, y'all probably know more about these teams than I do, but I did try to take a few notes here. Let's start with TCPS. Yeah. Will Lowry, the coach.
I think, and as David kind of, he didn't emphasize, but he, you know, I think every coach thinks that, hey, we've got enough people back. Maybe make a run at this thing again this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, starting with TCPS, Will Lowry and them, one thing's going to help them is they don't back off playing anybody.
They
played Oxford. They're going to play DeSoto Central. May have already played them. South Haven, Kossuth. They're not afraid of anybody, and I think it's going to help them down the road. They've got A.J. Bratton back, catcher, John Mark Jolly. I mean,
good pitcher and infielder.
Cameron Randolph, the outfield infielder. I mean, so that team's going to be okay.
Yeah, they're going to be good. And Will's a good coach. I know one thing that David noted in his story is Will's wife has been experiencing some serious health issues, had a lung transplant, some complications. So, I mean, there's a chance that he may get pulled from the bench and have to go deal with that at some point during the season. We hope not. Certainly keep her in our prayers. But, you know, that he's probably got this team and you know, the way he wants it and running like a machine that I'm sure they could still do pretty well if he had to step away for a few games. But TCPS there in 1A, they got some pieces to make another run at it. And 2A, East Union, it was a long time coming for them, Gene. Chris Basil, been there, it seems like, forever.
With better teams.
And has won,
really, better teams.
And he's won a lot of games over the years. And some teams you thought, man, they really should have won state. They were good enough. But finally got it done last year, trying to make it back-to-back. And they only lost, I think, three starters.
Yeah, that's good. And they've got the Wilkersons back, Zane and Joel Wilkerson, who are good ball players. They've got Josh Basil, an infielder. They got Cade Bell. I mean, who's a pitcher infielder. They've got players back.
Yeah, and they opened, I think, I'm not sure if it was division opener, but I know they played a division game Tuesday night, beat Ingomar.
They did, and we're trailing in that game, came back and won. So that was a big win. That's a really good series.
Yeah, yeah.
That Ingomar East Union.
Yeah. Ingomar is going to be good as well this year in 2A, you'd imagine. 3A Kossuth, coached by Josh Dowdy. They've been making a nice run. They've won, what, three of the last four?
That's pretty impressive.
And two straight.
Yeah, I was there at the beginning for that long 18-inning game that Sunday.
That's
or whatever it was. I can't even remember how many innings it was.
I remember that game,
Might as well have been 48.
Yeah, I think it was 18.
Yeah, and they haven't skipped a beat. Three of the last four. They've got Nick Wilcher back, another one of the Wilchers.
Yep.
Who's also a good bowler, by the way. They've got Bo Lee. Some of these names you've heard, Zach Stacy, who's another pitcher, it could be coming along. So, I mean, Kossuth's a baseball school.
They sure are. Yeah, that's what they do best there at Kossuth. And they bowl pretty well, too. They just won state titles, didn't they?
Yeah, girls and boys.
Yeah, girls and boys. Nick Wilcher.
Bowling power.
Nick Wilcher now, I guess he's a state champ in bowling and baseball.
There you go.
Not everybody can say that. Houston, solid 4A program every year. They won it all last year. They did lose quite a few players. They lost six. So, I mean, that's a
decent
chunk.
One of them was
Denver
McQuarrie, who was a really good one, who's starting.
In fact, he started last night, I think, for Mississippi State in the USM game.
Yeah. And but they got Luke Hancock back, the catcher. He's really good.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Tanner Smith, the pitcher, an Ole Miss signee. They're solid.
Yeah, yeah. Him and I think Smith and Colton Peel, those are two of their three regular starters that are back this year for the Hilltoppers. And in 5A, Oxford, of course, they've been very dominant in recent years. They lost nine players from last year, but the coach, Chris Bauman, is like, you know, this is just a chance for some of these guys that have been waiting to really step up and make their mark. And so they feel like they can do it.
Yeah, they got the Bianco brothers. They've got some good pitching. They got the Stennets, Carson Parker, standard pitchers, and they've got Reed Markle. So, I mean, they're off to a good start.
Yeah.
And they play anybody and everybody themselves. Sure do. All five of these programs could make it back to Pearl.
Yeah.
Got tripped up on my – I didn't know it was Clinton, Madison, Jackson –
Yeah, they all have a shot. And then we didn't have a 6A champ, but let's talk about Tupelo, one of the main 6A school we cover. And, Blake, you were actually out at Golden Wave Field Tuesday night. They opened division play with South Panola, and they got the wins. How'd they look?
Yeah, they looked, Ray Sandroni, the first pitch he saw, knocked it out of the park. Never ended up trailing. It was tied 1-1 for a good portion of the game. And then in the sixth inning, Tupelo pulled away. Pushed three runs across the plate and ended up coming away with the win. It was good. They went into the game. They lost three straight. And I talked with Coach Reed about it. He said, we're playing really good teams, right, like that we were losing to.
Right.
One thing that he talked about that I wasn't able to put in the story just because, you run out of space on it. But he was saying we've been losing these tight games. And finally, it's nice to come through and, win the tight one, right? Like, games that go down to the final innings. And he said, better yet, that it's also a division game because now all of a sudden these things really start to matter.
Yeah, and got a good performance on the mound from Jackson Bridges. He went the distance, I believe, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I believe he signed with Meridian Community College, too. Don't hold me to that.
Well, that's a good baseball program down there.
He's their number one guy. That's why you saw him pitching the other night. And,
he did a good job. They gave up eight hits is what I had him for, but a lot of them were single, right? Like, they did not really ever advance into scoring position.
Just couldn't string them together, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. So he did a good job of controlling the game.
Tupelo is now 7-6 on the year. They'll turn around and play, I guess, at South Panola on Friday. Mm-hmm. And Justin Reed in his second year as a coach, and, this – He's got everything in place, Gene, and a slow start. But again, it's the level of competition. I mean, what can we expect from this squad?
I think they'll do all right. They've got to develop that pitching. They've got to have that second and third pitcher, and of course, that's what you use the pre-division play for. And you try to develop some pitching.
Yeah,
and they've got Josh Smith. Well, I think one of their back, one not backup pitchers, but he's the kicker on the football team, kicker,
right,
punter,
right.
And he's had some moments here in the early season. So that's it. The key in 6A, pitching depth.
Yep.
That's where that separates the state champions from those that don't make it. I mean, it's just the pitching depth in 6A ball.
Yeah, and speaking of Tupelo, let's talk some softball real quick, Gene. You were out at the game last night, Tupelo, Lady Wave, taking on Hamilton. That's a 6A school versus a 1A school, but as most people know who follow softball around here, classification is not that relevant. All you need is a really good pitcher and a few other players, and Hamilton's really good. But Tupelo squeaked it out.
Yeah, Hamilton actually had them beat, had a phenomenal play made in the outfield. Girl made an over-the-shoulder catch on a ball. If it gets down, the game's tied.
Yeah.
Tupelo comes back, gets some clutch hits. Had a girl named Kennedy Hall, mm-hmm. who's kind of like a backup catcher and a backup, like, designated hitter and pinch hitter. And they stuck her in there in the seventh inning, just said, get a hit, try to do something, and she did. Hit a pitch she wasn't expecting, got a base hit, drove in a run. Ivy Watts, who's their really good pitcher, catcher, who's playing right now with a couple of herniated discs in her back. That makes me hurt because I have a bulging disc in my back.
Yeesh.
I can only imagine. And you could tell she was it was hurting as she was trying to run around the bases. But she had a long fly ball, tied the game with a sacrifice fly. And then Katie Reeves, a senior first baseman, drove in the go-ahead run, walk-off single. I called it walk-on single by accident. I try to type too fast with my fingers. But I didn't go in and change it. Nobody caught it. If they did, they can
I didn't notice
enjoy
it.
A laugh. walk-on, walk-off, that's what happened. But Katie Reeves had the big hit. And, you know, Tupelo's Dana Ray's done a great job since he's come from Nettleton there in his second year. And they have really built a really good program. This is as good as I've ever seen a Tupelo team defensively.
Oh, yeah.
Pitching-wise, when Ivy Watts is back and they've got Tay Wren, they're both really good pitchers. Tay wasn't really on her game last night. I was asking her about it, and she didn't want to talk about it. She was laughing. But she's really good. I couldn't hit her. But anyway, and, you know, Hamilton's no slouch.
No.
Don't be surprised if Hamilton's not playing in the north half or for the state championship this year.
That's certainly a team to watch. I just want to talk about a few other, just real quick, other softball teams to watch this year, Gene, besides Tupelo and Hamilton, who's always good.
Right. Well, I think you got to look at Smithville.
Yeah.
Every year. And then, of course, you can't talk about softball in the area without talking about Morville.
Yeah.
Morville's off to a good start. I saw where they beat Boonville last night, and I think in their division opener, and beat them pretty handedly. And you got Hallie Donald, who's our player of the year, coming back.
Yep.
And I believe she signed with Jones, which is the JUCO power in the state. But we'll have some teams playing in the state championships down at Ridgeland this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's talk basketball now. Back to you, Blake. You went and covered the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star game a few days ago, and we had a few players representing the area down there. Jarkel Joyner from Oxford. He lit it up one last time, didn't he? It was the leading scorer and led Mississippi to the win.
Yeah, right. Scored 24 points in the win. I don't have the score right in front of me, but it was like a 7-point game by the end or whatever. Mm-hmm. I talked to Joyner after the game. I was like, you know, you led the state in scoring, so it only was fitting that you led the game in scoring one last time. And,
exactly.
You know, he laughed and was like, yeah, but I guess that's a good point. he's so smooth scoring the basketball and has such a great jump shot that, I mean, it's hard to defend. And if he gets just a crack of space, I mean, he's going to explode up for a jump shot, and it goes in most of the time.
Yeah, I know. We've talked before about how under-recruited he seems to be. Of course, he's going to Cal State Bakersfield, Rod Barnes, the coach there. But you would think there'd be more interest in him, and I think, you know, probably that Mississippi-Alabama game was a really good place for him to show that, yeah, you know, I am one of the best in the state, maybe the best.
Yeah, no, I watched Mississippi State commits and University of Memphis commits in that game on the Alabama side, and Joyner was the best player on the floor.
Yeah,
and going to Cal State Bakersfield, I would not be surprised if we look up in a few years and and people start to wonder, man, I can't believe Ole Miss didn't try to snag him.
Yeah,
you know when. They could have. Another guy that really showed out in the second half, and of course I wasn't able to write too much about it, but Dwayne Cox from Ripley had a really, really great second half. He didn't play a lot in the first half, and the coach put him out there in the second half. And, I mean, coach couldn't take him off the floor because he was just making play after play after play, especially on the defensive end. And Ripley's coach, Adam Kirk, I talked to him, and he said I talked to him down in Jackson about Dwayne going. And he said he was really excited because he thought this was going to be a great chance for Dwayne to kind of show how good he was.
Oh, yeah.
Because he didn't play AAU basketball.
Yeah.
So he said, no one outside of Northeast Mississippi knows who he is.
Right.
You know, but that game certainly, I think, kind of elevated the way people think about him. He's undecided. He's a senior.
Right.
He's got some JUCO offers, and so still fielding some offers. But, yeah, he's a really great player.
And, you know, so those are just a couple of the players that are going to be gone next year from the area. But going to have plenty of good players coming back, boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
Blake, I want to kind of just go through real quick just a handful of some of the top players that are coming back next year. And we'll start with you with the boys. Who you want? I mean, I know we have a bunch, but yeah. Who really stands out that'll be back?
Probably no one more than DeAnthony Tipler.
Yeah.
You know, he's already gotten an offer from Colorado State, and will likely pick up a few more Division I offers, I would imagine. As the summer goes along and he plays some more AAU basketball. But yeah, for Ashland, you know, they've won back-to-back state championships.
Yeah.
He's their engine that makes them go, and he's a really good player. Madarius Hobson.
Right.
At Holka. Yeah, he's forced down low, and, you know, will continue to be so as he gets a year older and continues to get bigger and stronger.
He'll be a senior next year, finally?
Yes.
Yeah. He's the incredible Holka.
He's been playing forever.
Spears and Cam Smith at Okolona.
Yeah, Ladarius Spears and Cam Smith. That's the deadly duo right there.
They dropped to 1A, and so
that,
yeah. all these players are 1A.
I don't know if there's ever been a player in the state of Mississippi, and I know I'm just throwing this out there, but this Cam Smith guy has to next year when he's 100% healthy. He'll have to be the best 1A player that's ever come through here.
Yeah, I'm already looking forward to Okolona-Ashland state tournament.
That will be
needs to happen.
A great one. And then you got Javen Humphrey and Julian Warren coming back for senior years at Saltillo.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Talked with their coach, Craig Lauderdale, and he said, you know, this past year, he said, we were good, but this next year, this upcoming year, he said that's going to be our year to really make a run in Jackson.
Yeah, when Warren got back from injury, really took off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and finished strong to the season. So, yeah, lots of good boys players coming back, just a few right there. Gene, on the girls' side, well, we have the whole Ingemar team coming back, so there's that.
That's what I was going to say. Garibas Self and Company coming back, Lauren Thompson, and hopefully Mallory Russell from knee surgery. But, yeah. Bring back that whole Ingemar team, a player to watch. Shamia Williams from Boonville, the girl that the player that missed most of the season, almost all the season with the off-season knee injury. She hurt hers right before the season started, torn meniscus. Had surgery, came back a lot quicker, really, than Dallas Young did.
Yeah.
And everybody's different. And Mia Williams will be back. She won't have quite the supporting cast that she had this year, but she's going to be a go-to player. Of course, Jatijah Jones, Ty Jones' sister, is coming into her senior year. She's a phenomenal player. Kind of one of those tweeners, as you call them. She can play guard, forward. She can post up, do a little bit of everything. Hey, I was impressed this year and only saw him play three times or maybe four, and that's Lauren Elliott and Haley Vick from Pine Grove.
Yeah.
Boy, those girls can play in there. And I think Haley will be a senior next year, and Lauren will be like a sophomore. And that's Tony Elliott's daughter.
Right,
Lauren
right.
is. And she has a sister, Lexi, on the team, too. Those are just really good basketball players. Will we see them in college, maybe JUCO one day? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you right now, they're good high school players.
Yeah.
Then you've got another girl in that same category is Chloe Hammock from Newsite. And Chloe's a phenomenal little guard. She's the one that hit the three-pointer that beat Biloxi this year. You know, Biloxi was in the state semis, state quarterfinals.
In 6A?
Yeah, 6A. And Newsite beat them, and Chloe Hammock's the one that put the knife in them. And I can't talk about people coming back if I don't mention two girls from Belmont. Claire Maroon, the post player, who's had a phenomenal season, 20 points, 7 rebounds a game. Just a great finesse player. Could play really 3, 4, and 5 positions. Can shoot the mid-range jumper better than anybody I've seen for a girl. And then, of course, guard Sarah Berryman, who's a point guard. Probably one of the better point guards I've seen this year. And she thinks ahead of the play.
Yeah.
And that's been the problem for her. Teammates don't think like that. So she throws them a pass and they're not ready. But Sarah's going to have some help this year. Coach Higginbottom assures me that he's got some eighth graders coming up that are going to be able to help her, take some of the load off of her handling the ball, and free her up more to shoot and things like that. But really, a lot of really good girls players coming back.
Tupelo.
Carruthers.
Yeah, Carruthers, who, you know, I talked with Matt Justice, their head coach, the other day. She's just a freshman this year. He said she has potential to be high D1 talent.
And Jalencia Kohlheim, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are really good players. Tupelo could be better next year.
Wow, yeah. So there's a quick look at some of the top returning basketball players in Northeast Mississippi for next season. Let's talk football, Gene.
I've got a story coming out, I hope tomorrow. Doesn't like we have much on the docket. I kind of did an update on Jet Johnson and Peter Gray, Tupelo's linebackers, inside and outside linebacker. They both are getting a lot of offers here recently. Of course, with social media, the kids now like to put out there, very blessed to be picked there. But anyway, Peter Gray has got offers from Troy, Memphis, Southern Miss, Western Michigan. How about that one? He said that one really surprised him. You know, most people remember the Broncos played in the Cotton Bowl this year. Mm-hmm. Mid-American Conference, I believe.
Is that the team with the red field, or is that Eastern Michigan?
That's Eastern Michigan. Okay. Western Michigan wears brown and gold. They're kind of like East Union.
That's right.
East Union can't take all the credit for having the only brown and gold team. Then you got Middle Tennessee State, our sports editor's alma mater.
That's right.
Both of the, as Parrish likes to call them, the directional schools in Louisiana, ULA-LA, Louisiana Lafayette, and University of Louisiana Monroe, formerly known as Northeast Louisiana, and Mercer. Now, Peter Gray's brother plays as a DB at Mercer.
That's in Georgia.
Yes, and it's a Baptist school, I believe, and they offered him a chance to play tight end, too, and he was really interested in that. He hasn't played tight end at Tupelo. He certainly has the skills, too. The guy's got great feet. He's like 6'4". He intercepted 3 or 4 passes this year. I said, I'd like to see you, Peter. If the ball was thrown to you, I bet you could catch it, because the interceptions were mostly great plays.
Yeah.
Jet Johnson, of course, some people are saying he's the best linebacker in the state coming into the season. I wouldn't argue with them. Louisville made him his first offer. He said he was really floored. When Louisville called, and of course Ole Miss, and he said, I didn't even have a good camp at Ole Miss, and they called me up and tell me, hey, you're number one on our board for this position.
Wow.
I'm sure they say that to all the guys. hey, you're number one in my heart. Mississippi State, Memphis, Middle Tennessee again, South Alabama, Troy, Tulane Green Wave, and Toledo.
Those are Jets' offers.
Those are his offers as of now.
Wow.
And both young men tell me they're going to try to make unofficial visits. Some of them, they've already made some of them to a lot of these schools. Jet said every coach he's talked to, he's liked and had a good feeling. So he said this is going to be a tough decision.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure more offers will come in as the film and some of these schools see them. And I'm sure offers will come in once they see them play during the season in person and see more game tape, or if they go to these camps and things in the off season. But both these guys said they hope to have some kind of narrow things down before the season so they can make official visits.
Right.
And so it'll be interesting to see what happens. But it's an exciting time, and it's a kind of a pressure-filled time.
No doubt. We'll likely have that story in the Thursday Journal and at djournal.com. Let's hit track and field real quick, Gene. We got the annual Daily Journal Relays coming up next weekend.
Next weekend. Blake's going to be on the scene for us. Nice. You know, I've been here 31 years, and I've probably been to about 26 Daily Journal Relays, so I will miss next week's, try and take a little vacation time here. But I went out and talked with Fred Hadley's coaching Tupelo High track and field this year. You know Fred, he was an all-SEC sprinter, an all-state sprinter at Tupelo High, Mississippi State, played wide receiver, played in the NFL for the Eagles.
And he's been I know in the past he's been a sprint coach. He's actually helped athletes with that.
And I tell you what, they've got two sprinters there, because they've got Fred Hadley coaching the boys track team in Tanisha Jones Boyd. I know you remember Tanisha Jones's name. She was at Nettleton and Ole Miss. She was an all-SEC sprinter. Right. And all-state and state champion at Nettleton in all the dashes.
Yeah.
And she's helping and coaching the girls. But they've got Reagan Cook, one of the better female sprinters in the state in the 100 and 200. And, of course, Jordan Jernigan, the football player, the wide receiver, who will be, I believe, a sophomore this year or a junior in football. He's being looked at by everybody in football. And he's going to run the sprints, 100, 200, some of the sprint relays. Yeah. So a lot of really good teams. It's going to be a smaller meet. The Journal meet used to be big years ago. Now it's down to like 12 teams. And they try to get some of the top area teams in there. And everybody's prepping. You know, the spring season, we've talked about it, it's really short. You've got three meets to qualify to get to the state meet. You got your division meet, then you got a regional meet, and then you got the North State meet.
Right.
So before you go to state.
Right. So, oh, yeah. So look for the Journal Relays. That's next Saturday.
April 1st.
April 1st. There you go. Out at Tupelo High. Let's wrap up the show with Athletes of the Week. We do this every week, recognizing a female and a male athlete for their accomplishments in their particular sport. Let's start, Gene, with the female athlete of the week.
I mentioned her name earlier, and she's a favorite of mine out there. I usually wind up talking to her a lot. Katie Reeves, first baseman, a senior.
Yep.
Her dad usually plays the music in the press box and works the scoreboard and things, and he forgot to play her walk-up music the other night when she walked up for that song. Some theme, it's a mix of the Office theme song. Now, I never watched The Office, I'm sorry, but I didn't even know what that mess was that he was playing. But they, he walked up and says, oh, I forgot to play Katie's music. She was looking up there at him, and she goes up and hits the game winning walk-off single. But anyway, she said, I think he was playing like the Chicken Dance or something. I said, I didn't hear that. But anyway, Katie Reeves, whether she had her walk-up music or not, had the walk-off.
There you go. There you go. And male athlete, Blake?
Mentioned him earlier, too. Ray Sandroni, catcher for Tupelo, hit a home run on the first pitch he saw to open up the game, and then also on a sacrifice hit had the go-ahead run in the sixth inning.
Yeah. Beat South Panola there on Tuesday. So
he also had a double.
And a double. Yeah. So big game for Ray Sandroni of Tupelo. So congrats to him, and also to Katie Reeves of Tupelo, your Athletes of the Week. That does it for this week's episode of Prep Rally. Again, I want to remind you to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Gene is on there as well at Gene Phelps. Blake is at Blake Morgan DJ. I'm at Brad Locke. And we will be back next week to talk more high school sports.
I guess Gene won't be there.
Well, I guess Gene will be on vacation, won't
you? No, I won't. I'm not calling in.
It'll just be me and Blake next week, everybody. So thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time.